The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm Molly Dishner. Bristol Bay's mega-sized run is finally slowing down, with yesterday's catch and escapement totaling about 500,000 sockeye. Tonight, there's an emergency Board of Fisheries meeting tomorrow to discuss who can fish in the Togiak District when, and what's coming for the Bristol Bay meeting later this fall. Plus, more fishermen unhappy about prices. First, your marine weather forecast and summary of the run. For Bristol Bay tonight, west wind at 20 knots, seas at 6 feet, and patchy fog. Tomorrow, west wind at 10 knots, seas at 4 feet. Tomorrow night, west wind 15 knots, seas at 5 feet. And Saturday and Saturday night, southwest wind at 15 knots. From Port Hyden to Cape Saratreff, tonight, west wind at 20 knots, seas at 7 feet, and patchy fog. Tomorrow, southwest wind 15 knots. Friday night, west wind 20 knots. Saturday and Saturday night, west wind 20 knots. And the run. Yesterday's baywide catch was about 308,000 sockeye, bringing the season total to 34.5 million. Igigik fishermen landed 81,000, season total 8.2 million. Ugashik fishermen 39,000, season total 5.2 million. Naknak Puidjack 154,000, season total 15.6 million. Nushagak fishermen 30,000, season total 5.2 million. And Togiak 4,000 reds caught yesterday, season total 151,000. The sockeye per delivery yesterday, Igigik led at 663, followed by Ugashik 554, Naknak Puidjack 418, Nushagak 356, and Togiak 93. Now a look at the escapement counts. Yesterday's Igigik count was 25,000, season total 2 million, Ugashik 50,000, season total 1.2 million, Puidjack 76,000, season total about 7.1 million, Naknak, 9,000, season total 1.9 million. Igushik, the last count, 46,000, season total 651,000. Wood River, 21,000, season total 1.9 million. And Togiak, 8,700, season total almost 56,000. And we're done. Before we move on, reach me at fish@kdlg.org.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Crawley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years with a full range of residential, commercial, aviation, and marine fuel products, and supporting local fisheries offshore with Bristol Bay Floater Fueling Services. More information at CrawleyFuels.com.
The State Board of Fisheries will meet by teleconference Friday at 2 p.m. to consider a request from Togiak fishermen to give them a couple extra weeks to harvest sockeye before other Bristol Bay fishermen can enter the district. By regulation, participants in the Togiak district cannot fish in any other Bristol Bay fishing district until July 27th, and fishermen from other districts cannot transfer there. Now, 68 people have petitioned the State Board of Fisheries to extend the exclusive period to August 15th. Catches and escapement counts in Togiak have been low so far this year, and fishing time has been restricted there. But some fishermen are hopeful that the run is just late, like it was elsewhere in the bay, and want an opportunity to catch fish before the district gets busy. Board of Fisheries Executive Director Glenn Haight says the board will first determine whether or not the situation meets the standard of an emergency. That criteria is in state statute.
An emergency is an unforeseen, unexpected event that either threatens a fish or game resource or an unforeseen, unexpected resource situation where a biologically allowable resource harvest would be precluded by delayed regulatory action, and such delay would be significantly burdensome to the petitioner because the resource would be unavailable in the future. That's the regulatory language on it, and so it's essentially, you know, is there going to be a harm to a resource? Or is there the potential that a allowable harvest might not occur? And is it unforeseen? So those are the general criteria that the board looks at.
If the board finds that there is an emergency, they can decide to extend the exclusive period for the fishery. the Togiak fleet had an opener today and the fisheries report couldn't reach anyone there. But one drifter over in the Ugashik district told me he would support the Togiak fishermen. Frank Woods, who chairs the Nooshigak Advisory Committee, usually goes over to Togiak at the end of the season.
It would be hard for the fishermen there to go in and have a bunch of boats come in and mop up whatever they had coming. Also, it's kind of a management problem if they ain't getting an escapement.
Woods says, regardless of the regulation, he's not sure he'll end his season in Togiak.
I've been going there since 1979 and just love the place. But, you know, other hand, I got family and friends that are depending on that fishery for a living.
Board of Fish member Fritz Johnson is also a drift permit holder in the fishery and says he may be conflicted out of the meeting tomorrow. The meeting will be streamed online on the board's website, and a teleconference site for people in Dillingham will be at the BBEDC office. As of about 4 p.m. Thursday, the call-in site for Togiak had not been decided. No public testimony during the meeting.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
This fall, the State Board of Fisheries will meet to discuss possible changes to Bristol Bay fisheries as part of its three-year cycle of reviewing fisheries around the state. Proposed changes for Bristol Bay were due this spring and won't be released until late July or early August. Forrest Bowers is the Deputy Director of Commercial Fisheries for Fish and Game.
Typically, you know, you see a range of proposals in Bristol Bay with a number that deal with permit stacking and dual permit type operations, both for set and drift gill netters. There's usually, you know, maybe two dozen proposals in that permit stacking category. There are also typically a number of proposals that deal with registration and transfer between the districts. Changing those registration times and transfer periods. In addition, we typically see a handful of proposals relating to gear, like say changing, you know, gear marking requirement, mesh size, you know, operation of gear, you know, how far apart set net operations have to be from one another. There are usually proposals dealing with boundaries, particularly in the area near Outer Port Hyden. You know, with the there's often proposals that come from Bristol Bay users that are looking to change management actions in the North Peninsula management area and the Outer Port Hyden section. They're concerned about interception of sockeye salmon bound for Bristol Bay.
Bowers says the board is also usually faced with changes to sport and subsistence regulations and the Togiak herring fishery. The board will meet in Anchorage in early December after discussing Pacific cod proposals for the Bering Sea, Aleutian Islands, South Alaska Peninsula, and Chignik area. All summer, we've been bringing you stories about fishing and processing and marketing. Today, I learned a little bit about a center that helps the industry from behind the scenes. The Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center does research on processing methods and projects, offers a variety of courses, and takes on other projects. Seafood marketing specialist Quentin Fong says the Alaska Seafood Processing Leadership Institute is a professional development program that the center has offered for 5 years.
In the fall, we are more focused on technical side of things, is to review their plant procedures, safety, regulations, and also what is the latest in seafood processing technology. In the springtime, what we're going to do with them is to have 3 days of leadership training.
Between the fall and spring sessions, participants work on a project at their own processing facility. Fong says participants have come from a variety of companies, including several that operate in Bristol Bay, Trident, Ocean Beauty, and even Nakeen Home Pack. The center also has a smoked seafood school each fall.
It's just seafood in general. Mainly, we have done work with not only salmon, but black cod. We have also done salmon sausages or seafood sausages with regards to also a little bit smoking of that product also. We also have developed some of the interesting more trying to, you know, encourage entrepreneurship. So the folks here that take the class can think about new products they are interested in, and we will work with them to develop those kind of products.
As for other research, Fong says right now he's working with the Yahtzee processors on new Pollock Roe products and working on market development for Pollock Roe. Yesterday, we started to hear some posted prices and brought you a little reaction from fishermen in the Dillingham Harbor and Boatyard. Well, today, more called in to Open Line. Here's what a few had to say.
Good morning, you're on Open Line.
Yes, good morning. You know, I've fished here in Bristol Bay for almost 40 years now. I'd like to send a message out to the processors of Bristol Bay, and I'd like to just say shame on you. Shame on you for posting a price that'll cripple the harvesting end of our industry. It's a terrible thing you've done.
I agree with that person who said that the prices are just out of control. This place is becoming a company town real too quick.
It's not really the processors, it's the 2,500 limited entry permit holders that can't sit down together and fix the price so that the processor will pay us a decent price. It's the permit holders' fault, not the processors' fault. Get together, start a union. You know, you struck in 91, but you didn't hold together, and that's the problem. Set netters don't agree with drifters. Drifters, outsiders don't agree with the locals. It's the permit holders that got to fix this.
Yes, the fishermen are not happy about the prices. We're the ones out there busting our humps. So just pay a guy what he's worth. And happy birthday to everyone having a birthday. Thank you.
All right, thank you for calling.
Today, the Fisheries Report also received an update from Trident on the closure of the South Naknek plant. In an email, Trident's Stephanie Moreland writes that Trident is closing the facility because it's become too expensive to maintain and fully staff. Moreland writes that the company plans to work out further details after the processing season winds down, and that the company plans to work with the community on a transition plan for fuel. In other fisheries news, the U.S. House passed a bill today to allow voluntary labeling of food that contains genetically modified organisms, or GMOs. The bill, if passed by the Senate and signed by the President, would nullify Alaska's 10-year-old requirement genetically modified salmon sold in Alaska carry a disclosure. Alaska Congressman Don Young voted for the bill, which he says he did by mistake. Salmon in the Columbia River watershed in Oregon and Washington are washing up dead, and biologists think the culprit includes fish that are diseased and injured due to difficulty with high temperatures and low flows. That from the Spokesman Review. There was a fishy odor in the air in Ketchikan yesterday when the ocean floor took a big burp, reports KBRD. Ketchikan's harbor master says discharge from fish processing plants builds up, and when it releases sulfur dioxide, the smell can waft up into the air. Finally, executives from the world's largest seafood company made a visit to Western Alaska earlier this month. Coastal Villages Region Fund says Maru Nichiro administrators visited CVRF's salmon processing facility in Platinum. That's it for today's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. Tomorrow's our last show, and it'll air at noon with Bristol Bay and Beyond, with a replay at 6:30 p.m. Stay in touch with price adjustments and other fish news after the show ends, fish@kdlg.org. I'm Molly Dishner. Dave Benninger produced the show. Good night.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, representing fishermen since 1966. More information at AIFMA.org.